Welcome to Insignium Bits, conversations about breakthrough, innovation, and transformation.
Hello, everyone. I'm Aya Afidi, a consultant at Insignium Paris, and I'm delighted today to welcome Alexander Alonso, the general manager at BD Benelux. Alexander, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Aya.
My first question for you, Alexander, is what we see in companies today is that they are reacting to circumstances, sometimes at the expense of a long-term vision. So how do you ensure that your leaders navigate the challenges of today while keeping an eye on building the future?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. And I believe that it's a challenge a lot of leaders are having. And I always say, like, when we were super little, a lot of children like to play around the swimming pool, and you can throw a coin in the pool and go and swim after it. And you always need to remain at the side of the pool, see where the coin is going and where it falls, and then jump into, and not jumping into without seeing where the coin is, because then you're lost. So it's a bit the same what we're trying to do. And as a leader, you need to keep that strategic goal always like the light at the end of the tunnel. You need to make sure that this goal is clear for everyone. And don't change the goal. You can change the plans, but don't change the goal. And in my experience, I always work with, I call it STO, strategic, tactic, operational. So my strategy is, for example, my long-term vision, where in 2025 or 2030, I want to be up. And then to achieve that, you have certain tactical imperatives to work with. You need to make sure that it's super clear with your team. And that's something that needs to be communicated on a very regular basis. Now, to give you an example, in my case, one of my strategic imperatives is to attract, engage, and develop talent in a diverse and inclusive environment. So we're doing a lot of tactics and operational actions to make sure that this imperative is successful. And if you're successful there, we will achieve our long-term vision that is set in 2025. Now, attracting, engaging, and developing talent, the way you do it has changed dramatically or drastically in the past years. Think about the COVID, where suddenly people were working from home and you couldn't set meetings face to face. Think about digitalization, where you can use tools to attract people in a different way. So all these kind of things are things that impact the way you deal with that strategic imperative. But at the end, you adapt to achieve the end goal. And that end goal is the one that you always need to make clear. It's there. It's carved in stone. This is where we are going. How we're going also needs to be communicated, but that can differ depending on things that happen in the market. Like now they're happening every day. It's super unprecedented. And, I don't think we have, like a crystal ball to know what in 1 year will happen. But with the team, we can discuss, okay, what are the trends? What do we think can happen? And we can build scenarios. And we can build three scenarios, for example. I have an answer to each of them to be prepared. But again, each of them needs to make sure that you are successful in that strategic imperative to achieve your ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm. Very clear. And what have you personally changed and adapted in how you view your role and the way you lead your teams in those unprecedented circumstances?
Yes. So as a leader, I have changed in a much more servant leader, and that's for me the biggest change. And this has changed, one, because of the environment we are working in, because of the diversity, because you need to really adapt and display a high emotional intelligence to engage the people and take them with you. The bigger the organization gets, the more difficult it is. And it's not longer from this time to be very directive and say, this is the way. No, you need to go behind your people and listen what are their needs and how you can support them and bring out the best of them. This way of leadership also has changed in myself because of becoming a father at the time, and suddenly you feel different, and it helps you to become a much better leader. Now, I can tell you, during the COVID period, being back to back in virtual meetings, not being able to share coffees with a lot of people was a really big challenge at the beginning. Afterwards, I can tell you, for me, it was really a great advantage. At a certain moment, I got in the kitchen of almost every of my colleagues, because we were reacting virtually, and people were sat in the sofa. Some others were at the kitchen. Suddenly the kids were walking around. So we really got closer to the people, like using a video 5 years ago. Almost no one was using a video for professional goals. FaceTime was a given. But now it's like, instead of calling each other, we are video calling each other, and it's normal. So this has given us, and for me myself, an advantage to be able to connect much easier with people in a different way. I'm not going to say that it's a substitution of having people in real life face to face. No, it's like an add-on. But in the virtual world, I've been able to come closer to people, to connect much more with them. And my servant leadership has grown in really have the discussions in, okay, how can I support you? What is challenging you? How can we try to develop this? What do you think could be a solution? Sometimes I tell to my team members, hey, coach me. How would you do this if you were me? Those were questions that a few years ago I was not asking, and I was more leading the pack and hoping that everyone was following me without sometimes spending time going at the back of the pack to see if everyone is still in the bus. So that's the biggest shift. And I believe today's leadership is all about servant.
Mm-hmm. That's so insightful, Alexander. And speaking about culture, so if you look at culture as the way things get done in an organization, what do you see that needs to evolve in your culture to face what we call today the new normal? And how do you personally do it?
Yeah, well, that's a good, a very good question, and a very difficult one to answer with one size fits all, because that is not longer a fact. One size doesn't fit all. So we have diverse people working together. I don't believe in big companies, but also in small and mid companies, you cannot do something on your own. You always need to interact with people, with teams, and teams that are very diverse. It's not the marketing team between themselves, but a marketeer needs to interact with a financial guy, with someone from HR. So we always talk about creating flexible, strong teams around a goal or a project. What means that if you have a project, try to build the perfect team around that project. And that can be including someone from regulatory, someone from finance, someone from legal, or for a total different project, you only need someone from marketing and from commercial. So what we look is into adapting teams centric to a project to make sure that the project gets the best value out of the expertise of all different. Now, to do that, you also need to make sure that the interactivity between people goes well, that the communication goes well. So you really need to have a process management from A to Z. But to me, communication around people is the biggest must and is the biggest challenge we're still having. So I'm not the most process-minded person on earth, but I try to have always on my side someone that helps me in my gap that I have and make sure that the process is followed. I'm more the one getting the right people in, making sure in an inclusive way that everyone has to speak up, that everyone has a voice, and that I bring out the best of everyone, every team member, into one process So that's how I try to do it. It's maybe not a black white answer that I don't believe anyone has. But the question is a great question where if you're able to manage it in practice, you can be very successful.
Mm-hmm. So my final question for you is, when you look at 18 to 24 months, what concerns you and what gives you confidence for the future?
Well, what concerns me is the fact that, again, we don't have a crystal ball and it's super uncertain what's going to happen. If you look at what happened the past 3 years, from war to the COVID, the cost going upwards, supply chain disruption, those were things that 3 years and a half ago, no one was able to predict.
Mm-hmm.
While in years prior to that, you at least had some trends and you could focus on that. So that's a bit the uncertainty you have. Now, I love this uncertainty because it gives you opportunities. Everyone is in the same boat. Everyone is in the, let me say it this way, in the same shit. But if you're able to maneuver, you have an opportunity to maneuver in a way that you differentiate from competition. So more than ever, you have an opportunity to overachieve if you're capable to look at it, to listen, to be resilient, and to adapt to the needs that you have. So my thing is, we need to be prepared to everything that can come. Have the people engaged, have the right people on the boat, as much as possible, looking at trends and looking at the competences you need to be successful in 3 years, in 10 years from now, and be prepared to embrace any change, any impact, even if it's a negative impact, there's always an advantage to it. Embrace it, be agile, and start changing. If you don't do so, well, I hope others or my competitors don't, because then I have an advantage. But if you don't, then you could lose in this game. So to me, the uncertainty is something that keeps me awake. But on another side, also that keeps me awake in a positive way. That provides me energy to, I'm prepared to cope with the change, and I'll make sure that I can provide an answer, not me, my people, my team together, and adapt to the change. That's for me the message I would give you.
That's awesome. Thank you very much, Alonso, for this insightful conversation, for your time. That was very, very inspiring. Thank you again.
My pleasure, and a lot of luck with everything you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Over 30 years ago, Insigniam pioneered the field of organizational transformation. Please continue to our library in the episodes page of your podcast tool of choice.